Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Bombastic, we order some bombastic, romantic, fantastic lover. Mr. Lover, lover. Now, Mr. Lover, lover. Girl.
Okay.
Mr. Lover, lover. Now, Mr. Lover, lover. She call me Mr. Bombastic. Call me fantastic. Touch me on me box. She says I'm Mr. Romantic. Call me fantastic. Touch me on me box. She says I'm Mr. Smooth. Just like a silk. Half and cuddly. Hug me up like a quilt. I'm a lyrical lover. Now take me thin or filled with my sexual physique. You know me well, Bill. Do me, oh my, well, well, can't you tell? I'm just like a turtle crawling out of my shell. Girl, you captivate my body, put me under a spell. With your couscous perfume, I love your sweet smell. You're the young, girl who can ring my bell and I can take rejection. So you tell me go to well, I'm bombastic. Tell me fantastic, touch me on my back, it says I'm Mr. Rose.
Good evening. Wow, it's another Wednesday, another opportunity to bring you some experts talking about sports. My name is Dr. Loretta D. Smith. I am the host of Talking Sports Plus. And in the background, we do not have the rights to that music, but we just wanted to kind of share something to kind of get you wind up today. I said it's a wonderful Wednesday. Some people say it's hump day. So whatever day you call it, we're going to make it happen tonight. And at this time, we're right at about 8:02, so we are rolling like we need to roll. All right, it's always special to be here. Be here on hump day or wonderful Wednesday. All right, the call-in number is 347-857-4192. All right, my co-host, you know, we always maneuver and make this thing happen when all the co-hosts are not here. But, you know, it's always good to have these individuals that are not getting them that fantastic, blambastic introduction. So get ready for that introduction. We're going to start with the guy from the North. I call him the North, coach from the North. He's the famous saying, there ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. Coach Tremaine Edwards.
Hey, y'all hear me coming in here. Glad to be here for the night. Hot topics, baby, hot topics. Let's get this thing going.
Awesome, awesome. Trey, it's good to have you here. We appreciate you taking time out of that busy schedule. All right, now, the lady of the night, it is more positive than it's negative. Lady of the millennium, that special person down here in Central Alabama, and she's our young lady's going to bring that powerful voice. None other than Coach Lauren D. Smith.
Well, good evening, everybody. I'm back. I'm back. Y'all don't get tired of me tonight, but I'm back. Happy to be back. Another Wednesday, another hump day. Happy to be back. I'm ready to go ahead and get started.
She said she's back, so she's ready to make it happen. My other two co-hosts are, even though they're not in present, but one of them say he's going to do his best to try to make himself be present, maybe at the end of the show, but close to the opportunity to be here. But the next co-host that's not here, that's Coach Tony Stallworth. We wish him well. He's working hard. Now, he's working hard with Alabama High School Athletic Association. And let me go on and say that. Coach Stallworth, it became official the other day. He's retiring as of July 31st, if I'm not mistaken. And he's going to be not going out in the sun, going out to the sunset. He's going to just do some things he want to do. So, Coach Stallworth, we know you're working hard with that baseball and that softball championship, but we look forward to having you back at our prayers for next week. But we want to pray that you have an awesome, awesome retirement. Also, that coach from down that far south, off Alabama, in that Dothan-Wiregrass area, our famous Coach of the Airways, there, E-Train Elliott. He's not here, but I had to get him the same introduction I'm giving everybody else. All right, team, I'm feeling very excited, but before I get started with what we're going to, what we call our Coach's Corner, I want to make sure I do mention some tidbits of information that's going to help everybody do this thing right. First of all, if you want to hear this show by web link, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/LDSmithProduction. And if you want to go to the email, you can go to talkingsportsplus@gmail.com. And we have the pleasure of giving you some dynamic conversation through Twitter. So if you want to tweet the show, you can go to @TalkingSportsP with the number one, or @LorenzaDSmith. All right, team, we're excited about being here. We said we're going to just come with it. We got some bombs that are going to be dropped tonight. We got so many positive subjects we want to talk about. We just want to kind of remind everybody, and we have to say this, you know, whenever we have these tragedies and these things that occur in our school, we need to make sure we talk about it. Recently, just today, in Dixon, Illinois, you had another school shooting. Dixon High School in Dixon, Illinois. So our prayers go out. The whole team prayers go out to that community, the parents and the students that was involved with that. Also, we have a raging storm out on the Atlantic coast. It's coming up that east coast, and it's causing right now damage through rain and floods, but there look to be some other things to occur. Because we're now, if you anywhere in South Florida or down that coast, it's called hurricane season. So you're getting ready from May all the way to December. So they're getting ready to experience that right now. And our prayers out to each and every one. All right, team, y'all ready to get started? We're going to start off with Coach's Corner. And that Coach's Corner dealing with discussing why the Raptors decide to fire Coach Dwayne Casey. Let's talk about that, team. Let's just share some thoughts on that.
I dive into that one. This is a subject that I had a real live debate this Friday about, and some good points was brought to me. As you know, Dwayne Casey has been at the Raptors for at least 5 or more years. I didn't know that. But the positive, I'm going to give you bullets. One bullet for me, he's gotten better every year. He's won more and more games every year. Number two bullets, he has won his conference at least 2 out of the last 3 years. He's won the Atlantic Division. The negative bullets that a guy told me that on Dwayne Casey, he will not win the big game. And that's not his fault. And I really totally agree with it. I came to realization that he doesn't have the players to win a big game, and as we saw in this series that just happened. DeRozan is not that guy. I mean, he looks good. He plays good at times, but his game is slow. I mean, that won't get you to the Eastern Conference Finals or to the championship, get to the finals. As shown, it is not getting it done. So, now, I don't agree with the guy they just picked up, which was the Atlanta Hawks coach. He hasn't shown me anything either. So, the Toronto Raptors will scrap their team and start from the bottom up. I have nothing else on this topic. I didn't agree with the coach of the year getting fired because of matchup problems in the playoffs. I would have died with him another year. That's just me.
Great.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and come in with that. When the news broke that they had fired Dwayne Casey, I think everybody was shocked around the the sports world, but I had to sit back and I had to think about it like a coach. Maybe Dwayne Casey is taking the Raptors as far as he could take them. as a coach, you have to know that you can only take a team so far before somebody else has to come in behind you and kind of take them a little further. So maybe he's not the guy, but I do not believe Mike Budenholzer is the guy. I think they should have went with somebody like a Mark Jackson, somebody who build a team, who likes to build teams like as he did with the Warriors, or somebody else. I really think they should have went younger. I think they could have got Chauncey Billups. I think they could have got somebody like that that was going to be younger and that really didn't have a lot to lose if they had to go through a developmental stage, a Brett Brown stage, or just build a team from the bottom, because like Coach Ed was said, DeMar DeRozan is not the guy, Kyle Lowry is not the guy, Serge Ibaka is not the guy, Giannis Valanciunas, whatever his name is, he ain't the guy. They're not the guys. And as it looks right now, that Toronto Raptors will never get the guys. So what you have to do now is you're going to have to scrap and you're going to have to go in the draft and you're going to have to develop players. Now, I think that another coach besides Coach Budenholzer would have done that job. So I don't agree with the hire behind this, but now I agree with the firing of Dwayne Gates.
And that's awesome, coaches. Both of y'all hitting the points right on the head. And it's important that both of the points are taken, you know, because sometimes it's not the coach. Sometimes the coach gets to as far as he can go. You know, it's kind of amazing. We should, you know, we talked about this subject last week, and it was one of the things asking, should they make some trade or fire the coach? So they chose to take the coach. So Dwayne Casey will get another job. You know, the team rolls each year. But then again, maybe he took them to as far as they can go. He dealt with his kryptonite, which was LeBron James. And they couldn't get by LeBron James. And the thing about it, it is what it is. So we kind of move on. Now, the coach they hired, I truly, truly don't really think he's the one that's going to get them up to par. However, they believe he's the one, so we're going to have to kind of see how that goes. But that's what we're talking about. This is what it's all about, expertise. They, the two co-hosts that share some awesome expertise. You can do the same thing. Call in 347-857-4192. And what we'll actually do is press 1. Then we're going to identify the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number. Then we're going to ask you to jump in the conversation by stating who your name, what your name is, and your location. All right, that's awesome discussion right there on that topic. But as we know, the Warriors are now playing the Houston Rockets, and they're in game 2. One of the things that came out was about Draymond Green and the physical play of Draymond Green. Some people said dirty play. So my question to our panel, and my question to the co-host, as well as to each and every one of you all, is Draymond Green good or bad for the Warriors?
I'll dive in right there, Dr. Smith. I really like the element that Draymond Green brought to that game 1. Draymond Green told he told his guys, I'm finna hit him right in his mouth and see what they do. When they didn't return the factor by even running to the aid of James Harden, Draymond Green said they scared, coach. They ain't ready to play. And that's the mentality, because I looked at Boston the other night when Boston played the Raptors and J.R. Smith pushed Horford. Shoot, Smart and Rozier was on J.R. like, you know, like two thugs from the hood. Like, you messing with my boy. And they ran up on him. But as you go back and see, Draymond, when he hit him in the mouth or in his chin or chest area, no one came to his aid, man. No one came to his aid. So, you know, that's the mentality of Golden State. He is a great asset to every team in the NBA. Every team in the NBA to be successful needs a guy like Draymond Green. Draymond Green is the X factor. A mediocre guy coming out of college, got to the NBA, found his niche, and is an awesome player. He's a superstar in the league right now. He's an awesome role player.
And I'm going to jump in, Coach Smith, if you allow me to get right here at this spot. And I'm in agreement 100% because I still say we said alpha dog got to be an alpha dog. That was one of the discussions we had last week about the alpha dog. Do a team need to have an alpha dog? Golden State is more, if you be for real, they're more of a a finesse team, but they have an alpha dog on there. They have somebody that's willing to step up and punch you in your mouth. You know, I gained much respect for Draymond Green, not with what he did the other night, but what he responded to Charles Barkley. I have much respect for him because, you know, just because I'm younger than you are don't mean I'm not going to stand up to you because I'm a man just like you're a man. When Charles Barkley said somebody ought to hit him in the mouth, or I hit him in the mouth, he told Charles Barkley, you've seen me several times, so come when you see me, hit me in my mouth, and I'm going to show you, old man. So my point is, that's you, the alpha dog right there. He ain't taking nothing away. So he's leading them. So he went out the other night, as Coach Edwards said, what did he do? I'm gonna shove him in the chest, punch him in the mouth, and see what he's going to do. I'm going to see how he's going to respond. How he responded. Everybody backed up, took a step back, and didn't do anything. They like, wow, these guys ain't playing with us. You know what I'm saying? So I'll go along with that. You have to have that alpha dog, or you have to have that little thug mentality. And every team in the NBA could use Draymond Green. And I can tell you right now, Toronto can. If they had somebody go step up like that, that series would have went by so fast. You know, you just can't rely on finesse all the time. So we'll go with that right there. Coach Smith, you want to jump in there right now at that spot?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say this. Draymond Green reminds me of Ron Artest, Middle World Peace, whatever he changed his name to. He reminds me of him. When Ron Artest played for the Lakers, Ron Artest dared somebody to come touch Kobe. Ron Artest dared somebody to come step up to him. Nobody ever did. And when they did, they got met with a sucker punch. And do we not remember the brawl that happened in the Palace between the Pacers and the Pistons?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So we cannot say that he's a bad person for the game, because right now I coach 17-year-old boys and I'm looking for a dog like Draymond Green. If you have one dog on the floor, you got a squad. It's hard to beat somebody with at least one dog, because like we all know, one dog gonna turn into two, and two gonna turn into four. Oh, now you playing now. Now we can go up and whoop somebody for real. It's good for the game. Everybody needs one Draymond Green on their team. Everybody needs one Draymond Green in their life. He don't let nobody mess with nobody. He gonna throw the first rock, and he gonna see if you step up or you run. And that's what happened. And that's I'm gonna say this. That's what happened last night between Cleveland and Boston.
True.
Third quarter, some dogs came out. Some dogs got loose. Some pit bulls came. They done got loose. Rottweilers done got loose. And them the Chihuahuas didn't know what to do. They had mentally given up by that time. They're tired. So I'm gonna throw something that you can't stop. You can't stop no dog. And that's what Draymond Green is. That's what Marcus Smart is. That's what Terry Rozier is. They some dogs. We gotta love the dogs that we have, because stuff getting soft nowadays.
And just thinking about what Coach Smith is saying, you know, and I saw that, because I saw the game up until halftime, and the game was ticking around 7 or 10 points at one time. In the second half, as soon as LeBron got popped in the mouth, everybody else took their tail and tucked it in and put it in between their legs and moved out the way. And next thing you know, the game went from that to 7 or 10 points being up to possibly being down. And from that second half, they scored 33 points. 33 points. Nobody else could step up. No one could step up. Coach Everett, you want to kind of, we can jump in right there? I just wanted to say that.
No, I ain't got nothing for you. LeBron has to learn how to run the offense, man. They don't. I don't even like watching the Cleveland Cavaliers play. Them and the Houston Rockets are the worst team to watch. They have exceptional players. They got superstar players. They got Hall of Fame players. But they ball beat too much. They ball beat. That was the difference between the Michael Jordans, the Kobe's. They were in an offense going, man. You know, even though they ISO'd you half the game, they were in the offense going. I sit up and watch LeBron James dribble the ball around the half-court area till the shot clock gets about 10 seconds, then he tries to ISO his defender. That's not good basketball, man. You can't keep beating people like that. LeBron James has so many elements of his game that cannot be stopped right now. the way the NBA is called right now, if LeBron James sails to the post, he will score 60 and 70 points a game. 60 and 70. Those are my thoughts.
And your thoughts are good because that's the same thing I was – my thinking is you got to attack that basket. And you can't – you know, same thing happened to Houston. Let's relate to Houston since I'm not talking this next topic is about Cavaliers. Same thing happened to Houston. What are they like now? He driven the ball 10, 11 seconds out there, 15, 20 seconds. Then all of a sudden he take a bad shot, a shot that he got a man 6'9", 7 feet tall, and he trying to shoot over, James Harden. So my thing is, you ain't getting no movement. The ball ain't moving. Ain't no pick and roll. Ain't none of that going on. Ain't nothing going on. You may hit a couple of them. It sounds like it looks like the lead is turned to. We all want to be 3-point shooters. But let's go back to when you go into the gym. You take, I don't care if they're 11 years old. You take those kids in the gym and just say, just watch them. I thank you. If it's 10 of them in there, 9 of them out there trying to shoot threes. Nobody, and the biggest kid can be out there. The biggest kid can be out 200 pounds, 11 years old. He's trying
shoot threes.
Don't want to be physical. Don't want to go in there. And I said the only way Cleveland could even miss this thing with Boston, they got to be so physical with them tomorrow night that they hit them in the mouth and make them respond. But that soft play they got, I can't watch that kind of basketball. I told you after halftime, I was done. I can't watch no more. I didn't care who won then because the truth of the matter, I saw life taken out of. So that's what we're looking at in basketball. Coach Smith said earlier, she's just looking for one. She's looking for one. And if you want to have a conversation about that, you can call in 347-857-4192. Very excited about giving you that number. It's a different change in the voice. But it's all excited about, we're all excited about you talking with us. Not just us talking. We want you to share your thoughts. We want you to call in and say something. And you can do it by calling that number, 347-857-4192. Press 1. We'll identify the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number. Then we'll ask you to come on jumping in to the conversation, talking about what you think about the Cavaliers, what you think about the Rockets, and identify yourself and your location. So we're real excited about having an opportunity again to be before you. All right, now let's move to another topic. And this topic has in relation to the Celtics. And this going to be some trades, going to be some things happening. Should the 76ers or the Celtics consider, and we're going to take this, consider trading, we had this other last week, Kyrie Irving for Kawhi Leonard. Team, what you think about the Celtics trading with the San Antonio, trading Kawhi Leonard for, I'm sorry, Kyrie Irving. Let me get your thoughts on that.
I'll dive in, Laura. I'm going to say this. If I'm the Celtics, I'm going to sit tight. I'm going to hold tight and let this play out. You had two superstars that were injured this year, and I feel like – now, I'm not going to be, you know, skeptical and say, you know, this wouldn't have happened if they were there. I think it would have been that much more easier. As we see in the Celtics, they play kind of a freelance style. They play small ball. So I don't think those guys, you know, some people saying that they were there, they wouldn't be where they are now. I disagree. They will be past where they are now. With Gordon Hayward and Kyrie, they will be past where these games would be easy because I don't know anyone in the NBA that can check Kyrie. And, you know, even though Rozier has stepped up, he's still not a Kyrie. He's not a Kyrie. He's not doing what Kyrie does on the floor. Even though he scores a little, he's not a Kyrie. Kyrie will give you 30 points in two or three games. But I wouldn't even consider trading Kyrie them right now. I would let that Spurs trade carry on to, you know, the Sixers may want them. Shoot, Cleveland may want them. Lakers looking at them tight. But if I'm Boston, I wouldn't even consider trading these guys until I see it work a little bit. Because Kyrie hasn't played a full season in Boston yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I go ahead and go. Why would you trade somebody who has the potential to carry a team to the Eastern Conference Final again for somebody basically opted and told the Spurs, I'm not playing for y'all no more. Y'all have poor front office. I'm not playing for y'all no more. Now, we all know the Celtics haven't done right in the front office when it comes to handling business. So why would you put yourself in that position for Kawhi to say the same thing again? We all know Kawhi is quiet. He really doesn't talk. So when it came out that he said that the Spurs are doing this and doing that and he don't want to play anymore, it was kind of like, oh, hold up, man. Maybe we should look at this. So as a business decision, I don't think Kyrie should leave Sugar for you know what. Now, at the Celtics, you got – that's a bench. So when Kyrie and Gordon do come back, that's a bench. Can't nobody stop a bench. You better ask Golden State. Can't nobody stop a good bench. So, no, if I'm the Celtics, I hold tight. If you're going to trade anybody, trade for a draft pick, trade for somebody that can make that bench stronger, but don't trade for somebody who's going to come in and who's going to want starting minutes right now, because I caught it. Boston has is good. San Antonio is about to whittle out some old souls, so now they're about to be younger. If they can keep Kawhi, they'll be amazing, but if not, the Spurs are going to go into a building. I said this earlier, I actually see Kawhi going maybe to the Lakers. I see that. I don't see him going anywhere else. The Lakers front office is pretty good right now. So we'll watch and see how it plays out.
Okay. And like I said, it could be looked at many ways. But, you know, when it comes to off season, a lot of stuff starts happening. And then you start getting into, like you said with Boston, you got these players and everybody who's doing well, we want more money, you don't have the money to pay them. So that sometimes that has something to do with people making a decision and get rid of two or three of them, one good player. And then again, as much as they say about Kyrie, we got to stay healthy so I can determine how good you are. He ain't been healthy yet. He was healthy last year. He wasn't healthy the year before. He wasn't healthy the year before. And he ain't healthy this year. So I don't know really what the purpose. You know, he might be, but he's never make it through a season. So that tells me you're not durable. And I can't count on to make you a superstar, you being your durability. Now, Leonard, he ain't got banged up. He didn't play. So we'll see how that plays out. So we'll go for what we know in regards to that. We'll wait to see how it's going to happen during the summer. All right, our next thing is discussing the Supreme Court on Monday ruled state, and it's a state choice to have legalized sports betting. What effect do you think that's going to have on not the NBA, not the NFL, not professional sports? What effect will that have on college sports? Will that be any kind of effect on it? What can be a plus for having legalized betting, even though we know we got illegal betting now? So what effect do you think it'll have on college sports? Think about the state of Alabama. And think about how the government worked in the state of Alabama. Just give me your thoughts on that.
Dr. Smith, I agree totally with what you just said with the illegal part. So I don't think that when you're making it legal would make any difference. If a joker shaving points, he shaved. I mean, I say that all the time. I watch games. And I tell you all the time, Coach, he's shaving. Even though the kid might not be shaving, it just looks that way. But if they are shaving, it will be spotted out. It's too many eyes out there right now. It's too many eyes on your bank account. If it is an increase in funds, it's just too much of a risk to get caught right now. So I don't think that would be a problem just making it legal. Because they've been doing it.
Yeah, I mean, when they ruled it, they just put it in paper. I'm just asking.
Yeah.
They've been betting since they said it was illegal. Like when they told them to stop, they kept on doing. So we trying to figure out what them making a rule they actually did, but just had signed some paper and say, okay, it's legal. It's in the book. These folks in, I know these people in Montgomery, Alabama, been betting like it ain't no tomorrow. I'm going to say, I thought, I'm not trying to be funny. Everybody know I coach summer league ball. I come out my game and I see men collecting money because they betted money on our game. Every game I played in 2 weeks, weekends ago went to overtime or we won at the buzzer, and them grown men were betting on our game. That's how serious this is. They betting on 17-year-old kids' games. And it gets worse when they betting on 11- and 12-year-old football games. So we going to say it's legal? So we going to – athletes can bet on their games now? Is it legal for athletes to do that now?
Nah.
To bet on their games?
No.
what are we doing? I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah.
What's going on? It's just a piece of paper. I don't think anything could change, like Coach Edwards said, just a piece of paper. And we just gonna roll with the punches as they come when it comes to legalizing bed.
And just to kind of add to that, the truth of the matter is it was 1992 when it was ruled that there could not be in the legalized sports betting in only one state. And that only one state is Nevada. And that's Las Vegas and Reno and the surrounding area. And then we had our state, like New Jersey, decide to Atlantic City. You know that's some gambling going on there. With this ruling, it shot down the 92 ruling saying that every state got a right to now have legalized betting in their state, like in Las Vegas, like in Atlantic City, where they have some betting going on. Now, the question, just think about your state of Alabama or whoever state that's listening to us. Do you have gambling legalized in your state? Alabama, you don't. So if you can't get a lottery through or a casino through, you darn sure ain't going to get no game betting on a football game, betting on the University of Alabama legally. You can go to Vegas and do it, but you ain't going to do it in Alabama because that ain't the mindset. We're in the Bible Belt. The Bible Belt don't think that because you can't get lottery, you can't get casinos, and we still got people with boards, $5 places on the board. Would y'all agree with me? $5 places on the board. We have people, card games, gambling heavy. We have dominoes, gambling heavy. We have all kind of gambling and betting and all that going on in the state of Alabama illegally, but we don't have it where we at the point where we can say legal. But we got an option, got an opportunity, which I don't see no changes occurring in the state of Alabama. Some other states can capitalize on it that's already like Georgia, Florida, all the surrounding states, Tennessee, Mississippi, Louisiana, all of them got live gambling, and they're all for it. We just had our co-host join us, one of our co-hosts, and that's Darrell E-Train. Coach Darrell E-Train Elliott just joined us. Thank you for joining us. You want to say hello to everybody. Coach of the Airway. Go ahead, Coach. Look like I see it on there. Coach. Huh?
Oh. I thought that was me. I got disconnected. I called back.
Oh, that's you calling back. Oh, God. Okay. Yeah, I hope you called in. I gave up 2 introductions. All right. Let's kind of get back. But like I said, that's just something we want to keep an eye out for. Like Tremaine said, point shaving been going on. And Lauren said, she talked about her AAU games. I can tell you for sure, I've been sitting up in gyms and in counties I worked in, they'd be up on the stage handing money out with each other, betting on a basket, betting on 3 points. And nobody's doing anything about it until somebody may recognize and step over there and the police tell them, well, y'all got to stop betting. But it's been going on, PV games, all this been going on. So it's been betting like crazy. So Bet No Sports been going on a long time. So just try to make it legal to depend on your state, letting every state decide it. And especially for Alabama, I tell you right now, if you can't get a lottery, you can't get no casinos, if you get money to help your mental health and your schools and everything, you darn sure ain't going no sports betting. Not when the biggest thing around here is sports. University of Alabama, Auburn, and all UAB and Alabama State and all them schools. That's what we all about. We all about football. We all about that. We care a whole lot about basketball, but we love football. So you got one of those situations that we got to look at. Now, the call in number is 347-857-4192. Whenever you want to talk and be a part of this conversation, press 1 and we'll identify the last 4 digits of your cell, a telephone number, and then we want you to tell us your location and your name and then jump in the conversation. All right, team, let's kind of take on this discussion toward college football. We had several new coaches hired for this upcoming year. And I guess if a particular coach you want to talk about at your school, any college coach you want to talk about, this is the opportunity. So I want us to jump in and share our thoughts. But I'm going to kind of start off and kind of lead this thing out tonight. One of the things when we're talking about new coaches, you know, what's going to be the ceiling for them? Whether they're going to be able to meet the ceiling this year or not. I'll start with, and make it a lot easier, I'll start with Alabama State University. I don't see the ceiling being more than 5. Sorry to say. You know, I don't see more than 5. Even though it's an 11-game schedule, I don't see more than 5. It's too many landmines. It's too many holes in the ground. It's too many ditches. It's too many things major that they got to deal with in regard, not the coaching, not with the player. It's the schedule. The schedule means a whole lot. Now, that's the situation with Coach Ely. He has to deal with. It's all about, as we talk about, making money. Is money worth getting kids clean? Is killing their morale? Because if you lose early, it's hard to get them back. Now, they was fortunate last year to pull them back and get them going because they had a new coach working with them. You the coach now. When you lose the first 3 or 4 or 5, are you going to be able to get them back? Because of that schedule, and you try to make money with that schedule. Jump in there, co-host. Let me know what you're talking about. Tell our listeners your thoughts on that.
I dive in first. Dr. Smith, I see, you know, I'm hailing from Huntsville, Alabama, Alabama A&M, alma mater. I will say I'm go midway like Dr. Smith said. A&M won't win no more than 5 or 6 games. That being said, because our schedule is not as strong as Alabama State. Out-of-conference games are Miles, North Alabama, and Cincinnati. We have enough to beat Miles. We have enough to beat North Alabama. We don't have enough to beat Cincinnati. We might get beat by 50, 60 points. But I see middle of the road, and middle of the road is good for Alabama A&M right now. You know, that being said, the standards are low. With Spady these last couple of years, I've been calling for a new coach the last couple of years. Dr. Smith and Coach Stallworth been fussing at me. Coach, be careful what you wish for. But we just needed a change, man. Like Dr. Smith said, I see middle of the road. I can see us getting State. I think we got enough to get State, being that they're going through a change too. And with them playing those big teams before us, that helps us out a little too, because I know they're going to come with some bumps and bruises. So I can see us getting State in the last weekend in October. But other than that, I see middle of the road with A&M. I don't see us getting over the hump. We still do not have enough to get past the Alcorns. We still do not have enough to get past the Southerns, the Gremlins. I just don't see it. These last couple of years, Southern and Grambling Southern Grambling and Alcorn has been pushing out NFL caliber talent. I mean, we sit up and watch the games. They're on a whole other league than us. And it's like they slow the game for us to compete with them. I mean, these guys taking people out the game. Okay, we just trying not to get these guys hurt so they can get ready for, you know, a game 2 weeks down the road versus Southern or Grambling. I mean, Alcorn did that plenty of times last year. They didn't even play. See, and that's another thing right there, Dr. Smith. Alcorn was willing, when they clinched the East Conference title, they didn't even play six or seven starters versus, who was it, Mississippi Valley, or was that Jackson State?
Yeah.
It was Jackson State. Jackson State, right? Was it Jackson State, Dr. Smith, the last game of the year for them?
Uh-huh. Yeah,
but they didn't play six or seven starters getting ready for the SWAC championship. So, I mean, we didn't have enough talent for us to do that. I mean, for us to rest people. I mean, come on, man. But I see middle of the road, five, and that's under average, five for A&M. Go ahead, Lauren.
I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to go with two schools that nobody's really paying attention to, the coaching change. And my first one's going to be the national champions, UCF. I really want to see what kind of season they'll have after that national championship run they had last year. I want to see if the new coach could bring that same fire that the old one had, or is it going to take time? Are the kids going to actually stick around and not transfer out as we get closer to the middle of June. Also, where Coach Herm Edwards went, Arizona State, I really want to see what the expectations there should be and would be. Are they going to continue to be, you know, mediocre? Are they going to try to win out their conference? That's going to be my two storylines I'm really interested in watching. Nobody else has coaching change. Well, Texas A&M, but Texas A&M's not going to win many games anyway, just how hard their schedule is. And those two plus Texas A&M, I put Texas A&M in there. Those two plus Texas A&M is going to be pretty interesting to see.
And Coach Edwards, you hit something on the head with the observation you gave, keen observation about what Alcorn was doing. I'm at the thought, and I saw this happen recently, and I'm going to try to tie two things in. It's going to be dealing with two sports. Alabama State baseball team played Mississippi State baseball team at Riverwalk Stadium. They had their third string playing. Their first and second string did not even play.
So who are we talking about, Dr. Smith? Mississippi State? Mississippi State third string was playing? Huh?
Alabama State third string was playing. So I was trying to tie something in what you said about Alcorn.
Right.
Why get out there and wear my players out and possibly get my starters hurt? They won the SWAC. Eventually they won the SWAC in baseball. So my point is, why would I get them hurt? Let your third string get that kind of experience. All right. Now, let me go to take football. Let's take Alabama State University. When I say middle of the road, five, maybe those games that they're playing beside Tuskegee now, because Tuskegee, you got a good chance to win. But you have no chance in AT hockey stick, double, beating Auburn University. Why not play your second and third string? You're going to get beat anyway. Why? And you're still getting $500,000. Why not against Kennesaw State? Especially at Kennesaw there. Don't play your second thing. Your team is getting rest now. Think about it. You're getting rest. You're going to lose the game anyway. Then you got a off week. Or you've got a SWAC team in there. Bring your starters back in. Now they're ready to play. You see what I'm saying? Then when you get to South Alabama, you might let them play. Because you got to keep the tone going. Why not use that thought right there, what you have Coach Edwards and Alcorn doing? You're doing it at the beginning of the season. Because I can guarantee you, you put them kids out there and they get beat up like all the beat up A&M at the end of the season. Your kids ain't going to be no good the rest of the year. And you still got a full schedule to go.
Mm-hmm.
So let's use that kind of thinking. It didn't cross my mind to when you said something about it, Coach Evans. I saw that done in baseball this year in April. And what happened? Alabama State won the sweat.
Right.
They didn't play their starters. Give your other kids a chance to play. So why not that same process happen in the season? Then you might end up to having Mike win 6 or 7 games. You know you guaranteed to lose 3 of them. You're guaranteed to lose 3. You ain't beating Auburn. You ain't beating Kennesaw State. And you ain't beating South Alabama. So what's the record look like then? I'm throwing that out. I want us to jump back in on that right there. What do y'all think about that process, that thought process? Tell me what you think about that with my people.
I think it's more of a team matter, Dr. Smith. I really, as you see, the teams that are doing it are teams that are winning games. I don't think you can tank them like that if you're not winning games. Alcorn was winning games. Alabama State baseball team was winning games. Mississippi State baseball team was winning games. I don't think you can do it with a team that's not established yet, because I think you'll lose your players. Because they are competing for positions right now, and I just think you lose your players. You'll lose some. In some cases, you'll lose your fan base. Because honestly, me, I don't want to lose anything. You know, I might play, you know, this guy sparingly, but I'm not trying to lose the game. If it's like Alcorn versus Jackson State, I'm not trying to lose that game, Dr. Smith. I'm looking at the SWAC championship. That's good, but I'm only taking them guys out if I see we don't have a chance. I'm not gonna come out the door. Y'all ain't playing today, man. We're gonna get ready for the SWAC championship. No, sir. We're gonna at least go out and compete. And if I see it's not going anywhere, I would, you know, tank it then. But other than that, I'm not. Them guys didn't even dress, Dr. Smith. They didn't even address that game. And for that to happen, I mean, they knew something, but their program is already established, no doubt. So for us to do that, it'll be tough. Because our coach is fighting for wins, man. We can't be tagging the game because, shoot, we lose the game the wrong way. We out of there.
Yep. Coach Smith, you want to add to that, and I'll jump back in on that, because this is a hot topic right here. I kind of like this one.
It's real hot, but I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say it like this. You shouldn't be trying to 76ers your team, and you got a program like Pine Bluff. You're trying to 76ers your team and got a team like Pine Bluff, who ain't going to win but 3 games in the conference if they can get 3. You know, at Alabama State, you definitely don't need to try to think and try to sit people. My God, they don't have people as is. Are we going to sit people for it? We're not winning. We're not a winning program. Alabama State, what they think about the track program, baseball, bowling, football, it's like, oh, yeah, y'all built a new stadium. Ain't nobody saying that positive. And in the same way. So I think those schools, they are hurt if they sit guys. But teams like Southern, those teams are made to win. Alabama State, they should be made to compete, and then winning should be a taught behavior. But I don't think it'll work for those schools.
And the only reason I'm giving you that thought process. If you selling games and selling yourself to make money, and then you're injured, you're not going to be any good at the end of the year anyway.
Exactly.
That's the thing that I'm having. That's the thing that I'm having. I'm saying we're going to play all of them. I'm not going to. I know if I just beat Tuskegee, I'm beat up pretty good. You see what I'm saying? And yeah, they got enough players to make a little noise. But you can put your best players, you gonna get beat up again. It takes 2 to 3, and Coach Adam, you know, 2 or 3 weeks to get healed. Now you got the next week gonna lose because you hurt. So what I'm saying, look at that. If you're gonna sell yourself away like that, that's all I'm saying. You try to be ready for the meat of the schedule. The meat of your schedule for Alabama State is on the backside. For Akron, gotcha. The meat of their schedule was on the front side. You don't do that on the front side, but you do that on the back side. But only reason I said you would do it on is because who you have on your schedule. You got Auburn, you got Kennesaw State, you got South Alabama. I just don't believe you can get out of them games with Auburn without having some of your key players beat up. So my point is,
Dr. Smith. So you uh-huh. don't agree with the you don't agree with the money game?
No, you know, I never agree with the money game because I don't like selling myself just to make
gotcha.
A few dollars.
Gotcha.
If we, you know, everybody said money game. So you telling me now? You can get research on this. They're going to have the SWAC spring meeting coming up here, right? Just
right.
like they have the SEC. Just like, and they're going to get money. Everybody thinks Alabama State only going to get money from what they make on the door. The conference will make money off every time they was on TV. The conference make money every time they have a championship game. Everybody get a part of that money. So they're going to walk away like Alabama walk away with $30, $40 million, right? Alabama
right.
State going to walk away with $8, $10 million. I'm telling you. They're going to walk away with that much of money. So what I'm saying is, why not do a better way of getting your fans to the but that's a whole other topic. But at this point, since you already got that schedule so heavy on the top side, you want to be ready when you get started. October the 15th when they play South Alabama. You want to be ready when your next game will be Alabama A&M. Now, when they get the game, because they played a game before Alabama A&M this year.
Yeah.
Then they're going to play Alabama A&M. Then you got a 5 or 6 consecutive game after that. They don't have a break after South Alabama. And you can play it all SWAC team. That's what I'm trying to, you know, I'm just trying to use some thought process that's going to help them. I know we said they may not be developed, but you know what? I think they, even on the spring, they look pretty good. They get some right people in the right place. They'll be good enough to beat a SWAC of 2 or 3, 4 teams. But you can't beat them when your butt beat up.
That's
Auburn, South Alabama. You're not going to beat them. You can't have your best players there. And it's not taking a game. Hell, you won't get beat anyway.
That's,
you're not beating Auburn. You're not beating South Alabama because they ain't going to let you beat them. You're not beating Kennesaw State up there. So you already know. So you got to have a theory where you can be ready to go at the end of the season. Not at so much at the beginning. And you'll pretty much know what you have. You give them backup boys a chance. I'm just saying, give them a chance to play. Just like you said, you saw the quarterback, Coach Elbert, and you said the guy
yeah.
said he looked like a pretty good ball player. You know, that's a transfer from who? He transferred from where?
Tuskegee.
Transferred from Tuskegee. He looked like a pretty
yeah.
good ball player. And then you got a starter coming back next year. He's coming back this year. Your running back's coming back. They're buffed up a little bit. So what I'm saying, them kids get killed out there against Auburn. They ain't going to do you no good at the end of the year. So
mm-hmm.
I just throw that out. And I want us to talk about the call-in numbers, 347-857. 492. So it just hit me that if you're gonna sell yourself as a homecoming queen, at least make sure you're functioning well enough at the back end of your schedule. That's all. That's my thought. I like each and every one of us as we share the thoughts on it and what would be good, what would be bad. Every team can't do that. Everybody can't do it, Alcorn. But I saw this and let me do this, and we'll move to our next topic. You remember when L.C. Cole was there? L.C. Cole had a chance to go to the championship game. L.C. Cole taped Tuskegee game.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't get hurt. this player wouldn't get hurt. So he said that ain't important. Everybody got upset with him. That game ain't important. The SWAC championship is an important game. So is that any different what Alcorn did? That's no different. So my point is, this ain't just not starting. Let's use this to grow. All right, so got any other discussion on that? I just gave you some history when we saw 1991. They wanted to win the SWAC that bad. They take the game. And they won it because what a name took over.
Yeah.
So, was it 91? It was 2000
or something. 91, it was easy, Dr. Smith. That was the year we rolled all through the SWAC and everywhere else.
Yeah.
One of the years that was the Alabama State Glory team. That team went undefeated, right?
Yeah, 9-1. Yeah, that's 9-1. Undefeated won the national championship. But I'm talking about the year when Keldrick was there. When Keldrick and Tavares were there. They
was
the
02
game. Might have been 02.
03.
03, because they were at, he graduated in 01. And they went to Tennessee.
So it had to be 03.
In Arkansas. 2-0-3, and they take the game, and it was a Tuskegee, and everybody got mad. But they still end up winning the SWAC. So what I'm saying, that's the thinking L.C. Cole had back then, so this ain't nothing new. All right, let's move to our next topic. What are the storylines in high school, middle school, and historical black colleges during the spring? Anything we want to share in regards to that?
Lee Huntsville beat Madison County 17-14. What else I got for you? Bessemer City, I think top Park Crossing. Park Crossing have a real serious quarterback problem. They don't have a quarterback. They have all those athletes with no QB. So that's a situation where they're in trouble. Is that the reason why Coach left?
It might be.
those are the two games I know about right now. James Clement plays this Thursday. May Jemison beat Spartman High School.
Okay.
Spring football, 19-14.
All right. That's awesome. Coach Smith, you got something you want to share in regards to storyline for this spring for historical black colleges, high school, middle school, athletics?
No, but I can tell you one thing. I'm not trying to be funny, no way, no how, but I don't see a quarterback coming out the city of Montgomery that's going to make a difference for no school right now. I sat out there the other day and asked Lee White, we go through their spring practice, and I just wasn't impressed. I've seen Lanier. I'm not really impressed. I've seen Jeff Davis. I'm not impressed. Park Crossing, I'm definitely not impressed. Not when they just move a wide receiver to quarterback, and he played strong safety. So they just moved him to quarterback. I ain't never seen a boy throw a ball there in my life. So I'm hearing that, it's going to be a struggle when it comes to that. We don't know. Carver University, they'll get some transfers in, and we'll be talking about a whole new program.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
I really don't know about that. That's all I have for you right now.
And the storyline is kind of slim in regards to what exactly is going on. As we know, we're going to have to mention the historical black colleges. Again, the ASU track team, women's won the 8th out of 9 championship, or 9 out of something. 9th in a row or 8th in a row or something like that. I'm just ticking with numbers now. Their boys finished 2nd in the SWAC. So this is Coach Bean, as I talked with him previously, and we want to get him on the show. He has over 35 SWAC championships. I don't think anybody can compare with him ever in the SWAC to have that many championships. I don't care if he calls his track, but he's winning every year or every other year. But basically, one of his teams, either he's doing a cross country Are he doing indoor? And he's doing 35 consists of indoors, cross country, and outdoor track. That's amazing, man. That's outstanding. So we applaud Coach Bean, Richard Bean, over at Alabama State University, on again winning another SWAC championship for outdoors for women and finish second with the boys. Also, the golf group finished first. Women finished first, and the boys finished second. And the boys had won it last year. The men had won it, and the women, vice versa. The men finished second this year, and the women finished first. Baseball. SWAC, ASU won the SWAC in baseball. So all of these things add toward them winning that cup that they have in the SWAC for the best athletic program. And if they continue to win the small sports, they always will be competitive in winning that cup. And I think they have won it like 3 or 4 years. So that's in the last 5 or 6 years. So that's awesome with them. Another thing, and I'll share, Coach Edwards, I just want to kind of touch bases with you. I was reading, I got a request from Hazel Green. And Hazel Green from Smitty Grider got a GoFundMe fund, trying to help fund their program. Coach, tell me about them, Coach. Talk to me, Coach, just a little bit. Give us a little thought on Hazel Green. They got a GoFundMe fund. You got a GoFundMe fund. You got it. You're looking for some finance.
Hey, I don't understand that. We got all the money in the world in Meridianville, Alabama. If you don't know about Meridianville or Hazel Green, that's where it's like the Wetumpka and Prattville of Huntsville. It's where people move on the outskirts of the city. So it's a lot of money, flourishes with a lot of money. For him to be doing a GoFundMe fund, I don't know about that, because I think you can do a little fundraising and hit for $30,000 to $40,000 quick. They do like Boston butt sales, or they have a wing day at the Trojan Express. I don't know about that, Dr. Smith. For him to ask for funds in that matter, I don't know. But it's a good way to raise money. I might need to be taking some notes.
Take some notes, Trey. Take some notes, baby. Hey, that'll work. all right, the calling number is 347-857-4192. All right, let's move to what's trending. We want to discuss, and I'm gonna call on Coach Edwards to jump on this one right here, because this ain't a bandwagon ride, but I want him to jump in here and lead us on this. Discuss the resigning of Alabama A&M head basketball coach after 1 year.
let me give y'all my thoughts on this. I was cutting the grass Friday evening. I got a phone call around about 4:30. This before anyone knew. They said, the caller said, "Hey Trey, Marsh didn't resign, man. I don't know what's going on." So, you know, I called my sources to see what was going on. My sources said they were taking away his resources at Alabama A&M University. So I didn't speculate. You know, I wouldn't know the terms of what they're talking about. But I can only imagine what it is as far as scholarships, funding money, funds for your program. And like we said, we talked about how the SWAC works or HBCUs work with money. It's a general fund. Your football team usually runs your whole athletic programs. Your football team usually runs every athletic piece of your school. Baseball games, they don't charge fees. Soccer games, they don't charge fees. Track, they don't charge fees. You just go out there to watch it. Other than that, Marsh is of age. Marsh is an old coach, and he said he wasn't dealing with it. So Marsh said, "I'm gone." We are right now in the process of hiring coach. We're taking our time. I talked to a credible source today. He said that we're going to take our time with this hire. So be looking forward to tour early June. Well, I'm going to say late June, early July, we will have a coach. But right now, players are in place. They're just waiting for a coach.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, that's definitely something that we'll keep an eye on in regards to Talking Sports Plus. We're not going to question the decision that that coach made. He made a decision that's best at fitting to him. So we'll just say good luck to Alabama and A&M hiring a head basketball coach. You know, that's something that was a tidbit and some discussion around here about a possibility of a change of head coaching at Alabama State University basketball. It was talked. However, there's another year on the contract, so we don't know how it's going to be in 2019, 2020. So, but at this point, they'll be with the same coaches. There won't be any change, but A&M has made the decision to make some changes. So what we'll do, we'll kind of keep an eye on that, and we'll just talk about it at a later date when they do hire. Coach Edwards is going to be our North Alabama reporter. He's going to give us what we need. I mean, ain't that right, Coach?
I got you covered. I got you covered, man.
You got me covered. Okay, that'll work. Right. All right, let's Coach Smith. We're gonna allow you the opportunity to kind of make your projection for the 2000. We all gonna do it, but we're gonna let Coach Smith go first. 2018, not just historical black colleges, but any college of the Power Five, Group of Five. SIAC, MEAC, make your projection of at least one or two teams, how you think they record going to be. Already said about Alabama A&M and Alabama State. So what are your thoughts in regards to any team you would like to talk about?
Since we said we're going to start with the SWAC first, Alcorn or Southern, I see them on top of that conference right there, either team. The SEC, once again, I see Alabama on top. Auburn, I don't know. Auburn's a tricky – it's a tricky situation with Auburn because Auburn's like they like to fool you a little bit. They look good now, and then we get four or five games in, and it's like, man, what is going on? Like, what's happening? You get kids lead a program, stuff like this, so – that I cannot put my fingers on. One team I'm very, very, I'm kind of excited to see how the season goes is Ohio State. Ohio State should be at the top of their conference, but I really want to see what happens this year when it comes to Ohio State. Penn State, I want to see how Penn State running game is going to be. The same way, I'm really on that West Coast this football season. I'm really trying to study that West Coast offense and the West Coast defense out there because those are schools that we're asleep when they come on. I really want to come back next week and ask the same question because I need to do some research on the West Coast. So I'm not really concerned about the South too much because the same people going to run it. But that West Coast, I'm really UCLA, USC, I'm trying to see right now what we're going to be looking like over there.
Awesome. Coach
Ellis. All right, let me dive in. SEC, I'm still rolling with the Tide. Quarterback controversy or what, I still think Alabama should roll through the SEC. HBCU, I'm going to go to the SWAC. I can't go without leaving Grambling out of the equation. Grambling is a very tough school. It's always coming down to that side. Are we in one category this year, Dr. Smith? Still
no,
split
you,
up both sides.
It's still in east and west. It's still in east.
Okay. Yeah. We still have that side to go through. Last couple of years, we have been able to top that side. South Carolina State has been pushing out top-tier athletes. I'm going to look at them. SIAC, I'm going to go with Tuskegee. I mean, you can't lose. I'm gonna go where the thought process is. Tuskegee has been pushing out top tier athletes too, and those are my thoughts on the conferences right there. I just touched a few of them.
Okay, that's awesome. We just wanted to make sure we share our thoughts in regards to projection for 2018 football season. Each of the teams that was, you know, shared in that thought process. You know, again, I'll just add and get on the bandwagon, the University of Alabama, regardless of who quarterback will win the SEC, regardless. Auburn will be a good run for them and try to see how it's going to be. But we'll kind of see how that goes. But we know about Georgia. So we know Georgia's going to be making some adjustment. Everybody said they got all the recruits in. But it's a different when you start losing four-year players or five-year players and relying on somebody who either one-year players. There's only very few teams and schools can do like that. And we know the University of Alabama, you can take off 7 or 8 drafted, 9, 10, 11, 12, and they still be clicking like, you know, well-oiled machines. So we'll look at it that way. And I'll go along with Tuskegee being on the top of the SIAC again. North Carolina Central, I think, will be, as well as North Carolina A&T, will be running pretty hard over there with the MEAC along with South Carolina State. Look at the Pac-10. I think Washington is going to be on the top of it. The University of Washington will be running hard over there. Then we'll go look with the Ohio State. We'll get a run with Penn State this year, as well as Wisconsin again. And then we'll just roll on down here to the ACC. We'll look and say what it is, Clemson. Clemson has got is stockpiling. They stockpile their defensive end, defensive line. It's going to be hard to run on them. So it's up to how the offense can respond. And then I think Miami, University of Miami, is going to give us a good run. Now, you interested in talking about this, you can call in at 347-857-4192. But we are getting to the end of the show, so we figure we're just going to wrap it up and call it quits because it's about the end of the show, the end of the night. It's been a wonderful Wednesday. But we'll be coming to you every Wednesday at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So make plans to join us as well next week as well and every week after that. Then every 2 weeks or every other Monday, you'll have your Talking Real to You, hosted by myself, Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, and co-hosted by Laura D. Smith. And our special guest expert is Dr. Olivia E. Smith. So we're rolling with social issues at that point. We're at the end of the show. Share your thoughts on closing it out. We'll start with you, Coach Edwards.
Had a great night tonight. Great conversations. Loved it. Looking for a coach, man. If you're a qualified coach with some college experience and think you have a chance, man, throw your name in this Alabama A&M hat, man. It won't hurt. I've heard we're looking for a credible coach with college experience. We're not looking for high school coaches. We're looking for a credible coach with college experience. I'm out here, you know, jucking and jiving, trying to get us somebody in here, man. We got to get it going back on the hill, man. Thanks, y'all. Y'all have a great night, man.
Awesome, Coach. All right. Coach Smith.
Okay. It's been an amazing night. Glad to be back. Make sure you turn the TV as soon as the show go off. Turn TV to TNT. Catch the Warriors and the Rockies game. Also, my Alabama Roadrunners will be in action this weekend at the Multiplex in downtown Montgomery. 2 weekends ago, we came off a winning tournament. We won a tournament here in Montgomery. And my guys on a high, and I'm going to continue to do what I'm supposed to do to get them where they're supposed to go. But exciting weekend ahead, busy weekend ahead. Everybody stay safe and sober. Uber's a call away. Don't do anything I wouldn't do out there in these streets. Have a good night.
All right. Thank you, Coach. And I'll say, you know, my thing is hashtag keep on grinding. Grind it out now. Keep on working. Grind and pound. Make it happen. We enjoyed having you tonight. So when you get a chance, if you want to hit me up on Facebook or you want to hit me up on email, you can email me at Talking Sports Plus, lorenzad.smith@gmail.com or you LDSmith or lorenzad.smith15@gmail.com or you can go to Facebook with Dr. LD Alberto Smith. So we look forward to you joining us again next week. We had an outstanding show. I thank the two co-hosts who was here available. I also thank my other two that couldn't make it, but I think we'll be back at 4:04. I believe we will next week, and we'll give you an exciting Wednesday. We're going to say have an awesome night, and we're just going to give you a little music to lead us out of here. And we're just so happy to have a chance to have everybody here tonight. We're going to go to the point. We're going to play a little of that Frankie Valli. Rights to this song, but we want to play it. Frank and Beverly. So have a wonderful night. Be safe, and we'll see you or hear you or talk with you next Wednesday night, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, Talking Sports Club. Have a great night, y'all. We enjoy you.